This week on Potlatch, Dave Hendrickson of McCoy tells about a movie on parliamentary procedure. Levi Lott interviews Frida Alexi and Fred Napoca in Tuluksak. And Roger Kuniak of Little Diomede Island tells about being on national television.
Omri Pollock. I was born at Wainwright and raised along the northern coast to Point Barrow, Wainwright, Kotzebue, Wales, St. Lawrence Island. I went to school at Sitka. I am now presently living in Tokoff since 1965. I am employed with ITT as a site supervisor on the White Olive Station.
What is your position with this group here?
Okay, my position is a parent advisory committee. We determine on the local level what we as parents would like to see implemented on the Indian Education Act.
What are some of the proposals you plan to give to the seminar here?
Right now it's a little difficult to say. I can tell you what our parent group has come up with as far as our priorities in TOC. Of course, academics is high on our list. We feel that our children will be in the corporation-type world where they will need to have a well-rounded education to cope with situations that we've never come up with before. Of course, at the same time, we recognize the fact that we should not lose our cultural heritage. Now, this is a little difficult, I think, since presently the cultural heritage in the SOS state-operated schools are not stressed that much, although there, I believe, is a beginning in that direction.
What are some of the courses you feel should be taught in these schools concerning our cultural heritage?
Well, not being an educator, it's a little difficult, but I believe that there has been a right step in this direction by certain Native people in writing their experiences. For instance, Howard Rock, he of course is the editor of the weekly newspaper, and he has included parts of history as far as the Natives go on a regular basis. I think information of this type should be compiled and put in a book form which covers all types of cultural heritages from Point Barrow to Ketchikan.
Now there's just one word I don't want to hear. When I heard it called, it cost a friend quite dear. I can hear it echo as though it were now, and I was a chasing of the longhorn cow. Stampede! They're coming up the draw. Stampede! 3,000 head or more, here they come a-smoking fire, so you'd better earn your hire. Stampede! And held a score. Now Frankie was my buddy, he rode point upon my heart. We drank and fought and partnered back to back at trouble's start. We heard the call one evening in the thunder and the black, when the lightning hit the leaders and the devil led the pack. Stampede! They're coming up the draw. Stampede! 3,000 head or more, here they come a smoking fire, so you'd better earn your hire. Stampede! And held a score. Well, our horses, they were handy, for we had just rode in. We went from drinking coffee to a thinking of our sins. There wasn't time for praying and hardly time to cuss. There was a smoking roar and rattle, and the leaders were on us. Stampede! They're coming up the draw. Stampede! 3,000 head or more, here they come a-smoking fire, so you'd better earn your hire. Stampede! And held a score. Frank's foot had missed the stirrup, and his hand had missed the horn. And as the cattle crossed him from his body, life was torn. I was mounted at a riding when I heard his final yell. Be proud that you're an Indian and give the ladies hell. Stampede! They're coming up the draw, stampede. 3,000 head or more, here they come, a smoking fire, so you'd better earn your hire, stampede, and hell to score. Now I ain't got no partner, cause old Frankie's dead and gone. Just so he'd be remembered, I put him in this song. Now some admire headstones, but I think he'd like this best. He weren't fancy in his living, he ain't fancy in his rest. Stampede, they're coming up the draw, stampede. 3,000 head or more, here they come, a smoking fire, so you'd better earn your hire, stampede, and hell to score.
That was Stampede with Peter Lafarge. Next, we hear Jeff Kennedy's interview with Dave Hendrickson of McCoyoc about a movie made in Bethel.
My programming is in local government, and that local government is focused to second-class city officials, elected officials and appointed officials. And over the years, through my travels, through my training seminars, workshops, I noted that the parliamentary procedure was needed in conducting meetings.
What is parliamentary procedure?
Parliamentary procedure is an established method in conducting meetings, regardless whether they're municipal corporations, any corporation, or any association. It's just an established, recognized way of conducting a meeting.
But this is a creation of a Western culture.
Clark. That is correct. It's a creation of a Western culture. Regardless, there has to be a formal way of conducting a meeting. Let's say, Jeff, we had a meeting, and nobody took the minutes of the meeting. And a gentleman from New York City came and made an agreement with a group. It could be any group. Now, if nobody was taking minutes, a year from now, you wouldn't remember what was said. You could remember that the agreement was made, but you couldn't remember what the man from New York City said. So that's one of those things that's brought on this film, that you have to have minutes kept in all the meetings. So a year from now, I can say, oh yes, I can go back to records. This is what was said by a man from New York City. This is what he said he would do. That's one of the contents of the film.
So when you do get an official who shows up and makes an agreement, then you can hold him to his agreement.
That is correct, Jeff. Regardless, all meetings should have their minutes recorded by a secretary or clerk, we call in our second-class cities.
And what is taking minutes? What does it consist of?
Well, taking of minutes is of writing down of what's being said in a formal meeting. Let's say the council is having a meeting. Then the clerk takes notes of what's being said in a meeting. That's what the minutes are.
Going back to parliamentary procedure, you've explained its purpose. What does it consist of? You divide a meeting into various categories, various topics that you discuss. What are some of those?
Well, the film itself shows those categories. It shows the agenda of what should be happening in a meeting. I should have that, you know, I can't tell you right off the top of my head as to what will happen in that meeting. But it shows what should be happening in a meeting. And that's any meeting, whether it be municipal corporation, village corporation, regional corporation, or any association that's conducting a meeting. That's just the film just shows an established way of conducting a meeting, and you said a while ago Western culture way of meeting, but it's a recognized form that's recognized all over.
Where did you make the film?
The film was made at Bethel, using, of course, the Bethel people.
What organization?
We had Yukon Kuskokwim Health people involved. We also had station KYUK people involved in the film. But there were also some people from the Bethel itself that were involved. So we had two cultures, actually, in the film. We had the white culture and the Yupik culture. Yeah.
How long did it take you to make the film?
Well, it took us about a year, I believe it was a year, about a year to, actually it took about a year and a half, but since the concept or the idea was started. But the actual filming and whatnot took about a year.
What did the KYUK get involved in?
Well, they loaned us some of their people.
To do what?
To act out in the film. The same way with the Yukon Kuskokwim Health people, they loaned some of their people. So it was more or less of a cooperative adventure. The people in KYUK and at Yukon Kuskokwim Health realized the need for this type of help that was needed in our villages. So they loaned their personnel for this very thing. So turned out, I think, pretty good.
How can people in the villages get hold of this film and use it?
Well, we advertise it in our monthly newsletter, Local Government Highlights, but they can write to us at Cooperative Extension Service, University of Alaska, Fairbanks, and they can get the film. But the only thing that we ask is that as soon as they're done with the film, that they ship it right back to us, because there are a lot of villages waiting for that film.
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much in demand. How long does it take after you write away for it before you get it, approximately?
Well, the first film that we sent out was on the 24th.
Of which month?
Of last month.
April.
Of April, and today's May 6th, and we haven't gotten one film back yet, so it's going to take some time to get those films back.
So before you can get the film for your village, you have to get somebody else to return it.
That's right.
So if you're listening and you have the film, please send it back to Dave so he can send it out to somebody else.
That's right, Jeff. We have quite a number of villages waiting to see that film, and we're urging every one of those villages that have received the film to send it right back so that the next village can view it. Mm-hmm.
How about people's reaction to it? What has been the reaction to it? Do they like it? Do they think it serves a good purpose?
Well, the first time I showed it was up in Nome last March. We had a workshop up there, and the reaction was quite favorable. They thought it was a good training film. Of course, it was meant to be, to help our council members in our second-class cities across rural Alaska. That's what it's all about.
There's a husky dusky maiden in the Arctic. In her igloo, she's waiting there in vain. Oh, I guess I'll put my muckluck on and ask her if she'll wed me when the iceworms nest again. In the land of the tales of snow, where it's 99 below, and the polar bears are roaming o'er the plain. In the shadow of the pole, I'll be plaster to my soul, really happy when the iceworms nest again. Oh, the wedding feast will be seawall and blubber. In our kayak, we'll roam the boundless main. All the walruses will turn their heads and rubber. We'll be happy when the iceworms nest again. In the land of the pale blue snow, where it's 99 below, and the polar bears are roaming o'er the plain. In the shadow of the pole, I'll be plaster to my soul. We'll be happy when the iceworms nest again. When all the blinking icebergs bound around us, she'll present me with a bouncing baby boy. And the polar bears will dance the rumba round us, and the walruses will click their teeth in joy. In the land of the pale blue snow, where it's 99 below, and the polar bears are roaming o'er the plain. In the shadow of the pole, I'll look laughter to my soul. We'll be happy when the iceworms nest again. We'll be happy when the iceworms nest again.
That was the Yukon Star recording of When the Iceworms Nest Again. At Christmas time, Levi Lott went home to Tuluksak and interviewed teacher's aide Frida Alexi.
How long you been teacher's aide now?
This is my first year in being a teacher aide.
What sort of subjects do you teach here?
Math, English, spelling, almost all the subjects they take.
What age group do you teach?
Mostly second, third, and fourth.
Is it hard for you to teach, or what sort of problems did you face when you start teaching?
It's not really hard to teach.
You didn't face any problems?
Only with the kids, because they don't listen sometimes. We always have problems only with the kids.
You find that anywhere.
Teacher's aide Frida Alexi. Here's a tip from the State Consumer Protection Office. If you order goods from a store in a large city like Anchorage or Juneau, it might be a good idea if you get insurance for the items you buy. That way, if you get something broken, when it arrives in your village, the insurance company pays for breakage, not you. Again, we hear Levi Lott this time interviewing teacher's aide Fred Napoca in Tuluksak.
How long you been working now?
This is my first year. First year in teacher's aide.
What do you teach?
First graders to fourth.
What sort of subjects do you teach?
Teaching kids about their alphabets and 1, 2, 3s.
Do you enjoy working with the kids here?
Yes, I really enjoy teaching kids.
And the next song will be myself again. The title is Little Cowboy.
Thanks to the Savunga dancers for Little Cowboy. Thanks to the Folkways Records for permission to use this recording on Potlatch. Thanks also to Dillingham Radio for carrying Potlatch. Next we hear from Roger Kuniak, who was born less than 3 miles from the Soviet Union. Roger, where are you from?
Little Diamond.
Were you born there?
Yes, I was born there in the 1950s.
How long did you live there before you moved to another village?
I lived there 7 years in Diamond. We moved because we had no more teachers down there.
What village did you move to?
Nome.
Nome?
Mm-hmm.
And did you attend grade school and high school there at Nome?
Yes, I attended there grade school and high school. But in senior year, I went down to Oklahoma school called Tulaca, Oklahoma. I stayed there for a couple months, and I decided to go back to Alaska and graduate in Nome.
How long have you been here at university?
This is 1971.
What year are you in college now?
I'm a junior.
Junior in college, and what is your major?
Majoring in art.
Is that like carving and drawing or?
It's pretty wide open in art, just doing all kinds of artwork.
Uh-huh.
That's what's required here in university.
Uh-huh. Do you have to take certain courses to get your degree in art?
Yes, there is a lot of other outside courses from this art department courses.
Going back to Little Diomede, where you were born and raised, do they speak the same language in Little Diomede and Big Diomede?
Yes, they spoke the same language until they kind of separated us. Now the Big Diomeders can't speak our dialect anymore. They speak Sabi and Yupik.
Do the people from Little Diomede and Big Diomede communicate well?
Yes, they did very well.
How about now? Do they still communicate well?
Yeah, they started communicating ever since 2 to 3 years ago, I guess, when the Bosai decided that we should meet our own relatives by the international dateline, by skin boat or by the ice, when the ice falls over the sea. So that's the way we communicate each other and trade.
What relationship are there between Big Diomede and Little Diomede?
This is almost the same as a lot of native people. Like you have a lot of cousins, their cousins, uncles, grandpas, grandmas. There's that kind of relationship between us before they separated our relationship.
Have you been to Big Diomede before?
No, I never been down there because it was already separated.
But you can travel by boat or by either or.
Well, if we have a free will to go across and back, we could have used our skin boats. In winter, we could have used skidoo or walk over like they used to a long time ago.
Sometime in the future, are you going back to Little Diomede to visit?
Yes, I'm going down there in summer, this coming summer, for 1 month.
What are you going to be doing there?
I think I'm going to be doing some hunting. There's mostly hunting and carving ivory.
Do they have old ivories there?
Yes, they do have a lot of old ivory, but you have to kind of look around and dig.
Do they have, like, whales and seals?
Yeah, they have all those sea animals, except for the salmon. The salmon might go through there by other ways, though, but not near Diomede. We only catch tomcod, bullheads, crabs, and shrimps in fall time.
So you're going to be there for a month hunting and carving?
Yes, I will be down there doing some hunting, carving. A lot of interesting is there going on is bird hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Where you scoop them out with a butterfly net, sound like butterfly net, and you try scooping with the, it's like catching a butterfly. Mm-hmm.
By the way, are there any people living in Little Diomede and Big Diomede now?
Yes, there are people living there, and Diomede people are living there too. There are probably about maybe 60 to 100 people living in Diomede now.
Little or Big Diomede?
Little Diomede.
Little Diomede.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any relations there at Little Diomede?
It's practically the whole town is my relative.
Oh, your relative?
My own relative, yes. I have my one brother and one stepbrother and two sisters living down there, mm-hmm. and uncles and cousins.
Are you going to be taking your family with you?
Yes, I'm going to take my whole family.
For a month down to Little Tiny.
Yes.
Okay, going back to college, and do you think you're going to be graduating next year?
I hope so. It's undecided for me because, you know, sometimes you go to school all your life and you get tired of school. The same thing happened to me, so I'll probably go out for 1 year and work.
If you happen to graduate next year, you get your degree, what are you planning to do?
Well, my plans are undecided, but I'll be teaching for a while anyway and probably try to set up a shop like we have here in university, what Ron's running. Be trying to have a lot of Native people in my classes.
So you want to be an instructor?
Yes, I'd like to do that. And probably about a year, 2 years after that, I'll be going back to school and then try graduating linguistics so I can teach my own Dainese people to learn how to speak their own language again.
What place would you be more comfortable in teaching?
I think I'll be comfortable in all the villages if they want me to teach in villages, but I wouldn't be so comfortable in Fairbanks or Anchorage or Juneau, some like the big cities.
Going on to the national television show, what is it like to be on the national television show in front of millions of people?
Well, the first time when I got there, it was scary. It scared my life away, mostly. I didn't say much, and just so nervous, couldn't hardly do anything when I was there. Our purpose was just for World Eskimo Olympic champions.
Somebody interviewed you on television, or did you do some demonstrations?
We just did the demonstration, and Lowell Burke was with us. She did all the talking for us.
And I've seen you doing a high kick. How high can you go?
The highest I ever kicked perfectly is 7 feet 8. And when about 2 years ago, I kicked 8 feet and landed on my head and sprained my neck.
Where was this television show?
It was in L.A. called the Johnny Carson Tonight Show.
What month?
It was between August, someplace in August, in the first part and middle part of August.
Did you have somebody to travel with you?
Oh, yes. 4 of us. Me, Reggie, Joel, Lester Botfish and Freddie Titus, and Lowell Burke.
This is Annie Kalai. Thank you for listening to Potlatch.
Potlatch is produced in the studio of KUAC in College under Title I of the Higher Education Act.